That's one of my favorite projects. I think there's no project I've ever done that was as carefully studied by myself and with directions. The draftsman who worked on it, all it is a substation where they bring in high-powered, high-voltage electricity from the generating plants directly to the comes in underground, because such high voltage probably comes in at 4,400 or whatever it is, 8,000 volts, and it comes up into various areas within this. And this is Seattle City Light project. I worked with one of their engineers all the way through it, and it's very dangerous. High power, you get within, you touch it, of course, you're killed immediately with high power like that. So it's kept away from anybody, and they wanted a 10-foot-high wall that could not be gotten over easily. So I designed several plans of it, several different ways to do that. And I finally, I wanted this 10-foot-high wall. If it was one brick thick, it would be easily broken if a car happened. It's on 23rd Street and Arterial in Seattle. Cars are generally going 35 or 40. So if one of them got off the track a little bit and even bumped it with his bumper with a one brick thick called one wide, W-Y-T-H-E is what we call it when it's thick. You could put up two bricks thick, of course. That would cost twice as much, more or less. Anyway, so I designed a curved brick. Actually, it's an L-shaped brick. One end turns rather sharply compared to the other. So it was built this way. If you turn over one brick on the other, it makes a deep corrugation all the way along. That's all I can think of to call it, a corrugated wall. And because it's corrugated, it's very strong. If you push against it, it takes quite a bit of effort, and the whole wall wouldn't come tumbling down. But in doing this, I hadn't realized it, of course, when we first started, that's going to give it a very interesting, very strong shadow pattern, almost any way, any position of the sun. And then we tapered a special block on top of it. It seems like it would be very expensive to do that, and normally it would. But I developed a special base for it. These were cast in concrete with a ridge coming up from the flat concrete on the bottom and sloping slightly up. And this ridge was corrugated in a form before being used. Just say they're about 6 feet long, 6 or 8 feet, I can't remember. And they're laid down as a foundation. And then the lot slopes slightly. So the top of this raised portion sets down as the wall comes down 8 inches or so every 10 feet to accommodate the slope. And then this meant that the bricklayers wouldn't have to figure out exactly where those bricks come. They just lay them on top of this raised portion on the foundation. It's easy to make that curve in a form. It didn't take too many forms. Maybe it took 100 of these 6-foot-long forms all the way around the whole project, whereas there are probably 600 bricks in that distance. At any rate, it made it very easy for the masons to raise this, and it looks very complicated and expensive. So in actuality, it isn't. Another thing we did there that I was proud of, the high tension is high up where these wires come, and they come up from below with special protection. So if somebody throws a rock in there, even if they hit it square on, it won't get knocked over. So where the wires are with this high tension separated from the ground, there's a tower of concrete in between. The copper above is a high efficiency conductor of electricity, whereas the concrete is neutral. it actually conducts a little bit, but very little. So the wires above, the concrete in between, and all that shows the actual character of the electricity as it's used. Yeah, it's a long discussion, hard to explain.